We are honored to be with John Dean as we talk about both Conservatives Without Conscience, which you introduced about a year ago, and then Broken Government. Bill was asking about fundamentalism on the court and the importance of the court, to which I want you to add, did you think you were going to have to fix it twice?
Well, no. In fact, I when I came back and started my, after I finished my business career and planned to return to writing, I thought I'd be writing biographies is what my plan was. But I just kept looking around and say, how in the world can these people be doing this? How, didn't they learn anything from the mistakes we made?
In the Nixon White House,
exactly. And since a lot of the mainstream media during the first 6 years of the Bush administration just wasn't even making a peep, I said, I'm not shy. I'll come out, and this is something that really needs to be addressed. And that's why I started writing these books. The fundamentalist issue on the court, in fact, the entire chapter in Broken Government on the court turned out to me to be the most important chapter I wrote. It's the one we had the least time to discuss, but that's a good tease because it you know.
And very accessibly written. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mo, because Maureen, because she found that chapter fascinating. Also, she said, I didn't know any of this, and you know, boom, and I hadn't written any columns on it. What I decided to do was give enough history of what had happened to the court, how the Republicans, going back to Nixon, politicized the non-political branch, and the impact that's had as they have sort of refined their cookie cutter as to who they will put and how they will put on them.
Which really affects people.
Oh, this is the branch people know the least about. It affects their life the most, without a question. You can accomplish through the court what you cannot get through the political process. But the other side of that, of course, is that the progressives and the liberals were able to get civil rights legislation, civil rights rights that they couldn't get through the legislative body through the courts. So you've got to understand that there are two sides to this coin in that sense, but not where the court is headed today. And that's this issue of fundamentalism. Now, what is a fundamentalist jurist? This is a term as a part of a way academics, and I try to boil it down and be very non-academic about it, explain the different schools of thought of constitutional law. A fundamentalist is one who looks to the original meaning of the Constitution and says, well, what was written in at our founding is good enough for today, that these basic rules. Well, of course, very little was written in that Constitution. They're not explanations for how to, it's a bare outline, if you will. It is premises. But the fundamentalist will say, well, it's not in the Constitution, so obviously the founders didn't want us to do this or go there. They're the dead Constitution school. What they will do, let me just give you one very striking example of the implications of a fundamentalist court. And today, as both I view it and people who are friends who have very active practices in front of the Supreme Court see it, that we have clearly four fundamentalists already. We have Scalia, who is the lead and the prototypical, if you will, Clarence Thomas, another fundamentalist, and both Alito and Roberts. While they come in a softer shade, they're reaching the exact same conclusions, and they're just a little shrewder, a little less blunt at this point. We need one more vote, five control the court, and what will you have these people saying? Things like the Bill of Rights don't apply to the states. What's that mean? Well, that means that a state like Utah might decide to have the Mormon religion as their state religion. It would mean the removal of the right protection against self-incrimination at the state level. Could mean the
Women have no rights.
Women have no rights at all in the fundamentalist thinking. In fact, if you recall the Bork confirmation hearings, he changed his mind. He had a confirmation conversion when he decided, well, maybe the equal rights provisions of the Constitution do apply to women after all, because he wasn't ready to write off over half the country to try to get on the court.
These folks are ready to Bork America, as you point out.
They are, exactly. Bork is both a martyr and a verb, as I describe him. And to me, this is the most important chapter. I lay out in some detail where a fundamentalist court would go. That's not very hard to do because all of the elements are there. They just need one more vote. And then we have a very, very different country.
You also point out, I don't want to let this go, that one or more of these people lied to Congress in order to be appointed or to be confirmed.
Sadly, I had to report that. And
three is the number I got.
Well, the one that is sitting and is, well, Roberts, Alito, several members of the sitting Senate will tell you they felt they were lied to by those people to get their seats. What I looked at very closely was Clarence Thomas, who made some outrageous remarks during his confirmation period. And I'm not just talking about the sexual harassment charges. I'm talking about his judicial thinking where he claimed that he had no opinion on Roe v. Wade, which he's not on the court a month before he is all but calling for its being overturned. Quickly, he learned how he felt about it, obviously. But so these people are not necessarily playing it square. You know, most members of the court wouldn't be recognized on the street if they were, you know, if you'd encounter them. It's the most secretive of the branches by far, and the most dangerous.
And as you say, in a line that perhaps you thought of as a throwaway, the American people had a revolution once and could do it again. We thank you for being so explicit in Broken Government about not only where we are, but where we can go. John Dean, it has been a pleasure.
Pleasure. Mine.
John Dean has done a great service with his trilogy, shining a light on 40 years of extremism within the Republican Party. His books, Worse Than Watergate, The Secret Presidency of George W. Bush, and Conservatives Without Conscience, are both important. And Broken Government is a must read. We thank Mr. Dean for his lifetime commitment to telling the truth and for doing so here with us. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.